Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Randall Bell, PhD. Randall is a social economics and CEO of Landmark Research Group, LLC. Prior to this, he led a national practice at PricewaterhouseCoopers, the world's largest consulting firms. He has consulted to some of the biggest in the business during some of the biggest catastrophes when they really needed excellent advice and guidance. And he's also appeared on all major media. And I'm so thrilled, Randall, to have you with us today.
Oh, Vicki, it's great to be here.
Well, I also wanted to mention you're the author of a wonderful book, Me, We, Do, Be. But before we go into this book and the way it's gathering momentum, which is so phenomenal, could you tell us a little bit, for those who haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, how you came to your passion and purpose in life, and go in a little bit more about your bio?
Well, my first passion, of course, is with God, family, and country. But as far as this research goes, yes, I am passionate about it. I was doing some conventional type work, and one day I had applied to law school, and I had gotten in. And I thought, you know, I'm not sure the world needs another lawyer. And I was thinking, what if I take my skill set and turn around and really study these disasters in a way that's never been done before? And it just turned out to be one of those jackpot moments where I've had this career that's taken me to seven continents. I've worked on, cases all over the world. I've gotten billions of dollars from my clients to help rebuild communities and their lives. And it all came from just a moment of floating in the pool and reflecting about what I really wanted to do rather than what I thought would make money or what I thought would be a smart career move. It was more, along the lines of what would be interesting. And that's what did it for me.
Wow, that's so amazing. And you have consulted on such catastrophes as the World Trade Center and Flight 93 crash site, a BP oil spill, Hurricane Katrina, the list just goes on and on. Tell us a little bit about how you have approached those kind of unbelievable catastrophes and improved situations for companies and for the people?
Well, that's a great question, Vicki, because a lot of people think that complex problems require complex solutions, and that's a myth. A lot of times things, turn into a train wreck because of overcomplicated thinking or distractions that took people off, frankly, very sensible fundamental issues. And my approach is really to keep it simple, to look at the situation. And although I get a lot of, environmental reports and engineering reports that are very complex, I try and translate that into something bottom line that makes sense to me and to others. And the approach that I've taken is just a simple approach of, in terms of foundational issues that cause these problems, and more importantly, in going forward, what are the foundational things that will rebuild successfully? And that approach, that simple approach, has been very, very successful.
So with your wonderful book, Me, We, Do, Be, how does that tie in to this amazing contribution you've made all over the world?
Well, when you're flying back from Chernobyl or flying back from Hiroshima or these cases I've had, you're on the plane for a very long time, and I don't watch the in-flight movies. I've thought, I've had this unique privilege of being in these cases and having access to not just these sites, but the people behind the statistics from all over the world for years. And I need to document this journey because it's really been a privilege. I've been to more disaster sites around the world than anyone in history, and I've seen more than anybody in this category, and there's some important insights that come out of it that are profound. And so for 25 years, as I've had this career flying around the world studying these disasters, I've been documenting it on my laptop as I've had these long flights, and I've tried to come up with a simple formula to really kind of convey this message. It's a powerful message, but it's simple. The four cornerstones of success are summarized in four little words: me, we, do, be. Me is our thinking, the quality of our wisdom in terms of what we're thinking intellectually, what we feel spiritually, what we believe philosophically. That's all me. And then we is our relationships, how we get along with other people in terms of teamwork, in terms of communication, and that kind of thing. Do is our level of productivity. That's taking care of our health, taking care of our money, taking care of our products and services, all the things to work and be productive. And then B, the B cornerstone, is our game plan for the future. It's what our goals are, how we manage our time, and our whole vision for going forward. So those four little cornerstones are simple. I can explain them to a five-year-old, they'll get it, but I've also used that framework with CEOs with multi-million dollar decisions.
Wow, that's really impressive, the idea of bringing really complex problems back to simplicity, and that simplicity can assist almost everyone that reads the book. Can you tell me a little bit about what you hope readers gain from reading the book?
I hope that readers will look at this book and basically say, you know what, the world is full of, you know, overloaded with information but starving for wisdom. And sometimes in this high-tech society where there's so much noise, that you just take a moment to really look at the foundational issues of our lives, of our families, of our organizations, and get back to some fundamental basics. Throughout the book, I interweave a number of stories from the disasters that I've worked on, along with sociological research. I'm a sociologist, and also some financial impacts, because I also have a background in economics, and really take a look at our individual cornerstones. Also in the book, I have close to about 50 what I call rich habits. These are little things we can do, like making our bed in the morning or reading more often, little things we can do that are statistically correlated with success. And they're all in the four, you know, cornerstone categories. So I hope that readers basically evaluate their lives, their businesses, and so forth. And this is a simple way to do it. And because it's simple, it's also very powerful in taking us to a better, higher level.
That's really amazing and ever so powerful. So with combining all of this amazing knowledge that you have and the experiences that you've had, what kind of challenges did you have in actually writing the book for the average person to read?
Well, you know, some people dictate a book and it gets transcribed and they have a book, you know, done very, very quickly. That's not the approach I had. The challenge I had was the cases I was working on and still work on are so big and so profound that trying to articulate what I saw, what it was like to be working on the World Trade Center, you know, in the aftermath of 9/11, or how it was to work on the Flight 93 crash site. I mean, those are larger than life situations that really, you know, it takes a real effort to try and translate that and articulate it in a way that will make sense in terms of what I learned from being behind the scenes working on these cases. I had to be relentless. I had a number of false starts with the book. It just wasn't tweaked right, but it's just persistence, because literally it took me 25 years to get to a point where I'm genuinely happy with the book and where it's having explosive results. So you just can't take shortcuts. It has to be authentic, and it takes a lot of work and, frankly, rework to get it fine-tuned the way you want to have it.
It certainly does. And did you ever get discouraged in the process? For those out there that may be kind of at a standstill in actually writing your own books, can you give any advice?
Well, sure. I think one of the funniest things I ever heard, which is actually very true, is the last people to understand that you've done something significant are the people closest to you. And in my family, I've got six siblings, and we're talking English professors, and, you know, being the little brother, they were not bashful about offering their criticisms of my writing styles and my grammar and so on and so forth. But, you know, you just have to press forward and ignore the criticisms. I think, frankly, I've put a lot of that to rest because, frankly, I turned people like that into my assets. And I said, okay, if there's a problem, read this manuscript and tell me what's wrong with it. And they did. And frankly, the manuscript got better and better by, instead of being angry about the criticisms, just kind of embracing and saying, well, in their own special way, they're making this product better, this manuscript better. So you just have to take an approach of, hey, I'm going to get it done. There's going to be criticism, particularly from those very closest to me, and just keep pressing forward. And you may think you have it, but you got to take a step back before you publish it and be open to just continual improvement to a point where, hey, I've nailed it. I got it.
So when we're referring to the content of the book, what are some of your favorite tips in the book for people to be able to really grasp the concept of me, we, do, be?
You know, I'm kind of biased because I wrote it. I think it's just full of things. But like this morning, I got an email from someone who just got an advanced copy, just to email and say, I love this book. I'm halfway done. And the quote that's sticking with me all day was somewhere where I say that, be careful about being qualified for a world that no longer exists. In other words, we got to continually educate ourselves and not be stuck in the past, you know, in technologies or thinking of the past. The world is progressing pretty rapidly, and so we got to be open to doing things better and better. So that was just something that happened today. But I have a lot of sociological research in the book where I talk about these university studies about interesting human behavioral things, and I tie it into these things. And there's a lot of these habits. I try and take a very practical approach where I say, you know, read more, because if you read more, you're statistically more likely to be happy and wealthier. And by the way, make your bed in the morning, because if you do, you're 208% more likely to become a millionaire. And that's statistically valid. So I stay away from just kind of anecdotes and, you know, a stream of consciousness. I stick more with what has been really proven through academic studies, through our own research, because I surveyed 5,000 people around the world to get the statistical research for that book. And it really comes across as being authentic because it's really well researched.
Wow, that's incredible. So in addition to your own experience, you also did additional research for the book.
Yeah, and it all reconciles. I mean, myself and other experts are largely saying the same things, but then I interweave that with the stories with these disasters. And more important than the disasters, in the book I talk about a concept of post-traumatic thriving. In other words, you know, people that have really been through horrible situations, but they got up, they dusted themselves off, and they're actually bigger and better than they were before the disaster. It's as if the disaster kind of woke them up to some unknown, you know, super qualities that they had, and they're very resilient, and they're actually better off after the disaster than before. That's a very interesting human phenomena that I've paid a lot of attention to over the years.
How do you account for that when some people may be destroyed by a disaster and others really have a resilience? What is that about?
Well, in the book, I have a little chart, and it basically it shows that you're going along, and along comes a disaster, and you have three options. You can dive, survive, or thrive. And some people do dive, and I don't judge them because I haven't been through the calamities that they have. And some people work their way back, and they survive. But the most interesting group are the thrivers, again, what I call the post-traumatic thrivers. And I think what really separates them from the others is a mindset. It's the me cornerstone. I talk a lot about this in the me cornerstone, our attitudes. When these negative thoughts come in, one of the interesting things about the human brain is that you can only think of one thing at a time. It's a myth that you can multitask. You can't. All you can do is switch back and forth very, very quickly, but you cannot be thinking about more than one thing at a time. So if a negative thought comes in, the post-traumatic thrivers have a deliberate habit to think about something positive and push that negative thought out. I had that experience when I worked on the O.J. Simpson case. I was having lunch with Denise Brown, and I'd heard something negative about O.J. Simpson on the news. And at lunch, I said, hey, Denise, I heard O.J. did something, blah, blah, blah. And Denise said, Randall, just keep it positive. And here's a person, she's a post-traumatic thriver for sure, because she lost her sister in a horrible way, and yet she had every reason to be in a rage for the rest of her life, but she conscientiously chose that when negative thoughts came in, or negative conversations, to replace them with something positive. And that's what post-traumatic thrivers do. It's a conscientious decision to stay on the positive.
Wow, that's incredible. So I would assume that there's probably some correlation to that when you mentioned the ever so important fact that we're living in such a changing world, especially right now. And so many people are approaching this fearfully as opposed to approaching it with bravery and opportunity as their attitude.
Well, yeah, there's so much going on and so much that, frankly, we have no control over. We only have really ultimately control over ourselves, and we can really create, even in spite of all the chaos outside, a really terrific life if we take some of these approaches. And one of the big things with all the noise in the outside world is that when you're in normal activities, your brain generates beta waves. That's the conscious side of the brain. But one of the points I make is that alpha waves, which are a more relaxed state, that's where you get your bursts of creative energy and creative thought. So it's really important to turn off the noise, turn off the technology, and have some quiet time for some period of time every day, whether you call it meditation or prayer or quiet time, whatever you call it. Take those moments of reflection and think about what's deeply important to you. That's where you get some really golden nuggets, because a lot of great inspiration is inside of ourselves if we simply turn off the noise and listen to what ourselves are trying to tell us.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's such important advice. And I know for myself, when I was younger, I used to feel that if I threw more energy at something, if I ran into a roadblock or something, as long as I would throw more energy at it, you know, it would all work out. And it did eventually, but it was incredibly stressful. And it took me many, many years to get to a place where when I hit a roadblock, I would relax with it and allow some space for solutions to come in. And I wish so much I had discovered that much earlier in life than what I did. But it's really important information, really important.
Yeah, it sure is, and it's something that we all have to do. And, you know, fortunately, I have these moments where I have these chronically long plane rides where I can think quietly. And I look around, a lot of passengers are just, you know, plugging into online movies, and they're just constantly distracted with a lot of junk, a lot of sugar-coated junk. And to really get to a more elevated realm, we got to turn off that noise and really think seriously and contemplate those things that are really of genuine importance in our lives.
Well, you know, a lot of the contribution that you have made came from a decision you made early on. I think you said you made it in a swimming pool when you decided to shift gears and really focus on what you wanted to do. How did your purpose come to you, and what advice would you have for people that are maybe still searching for what that is?
Well, I have two points of advice. One is, you know, give yourself some time. These things do not come immediately, and give yourself that quiet time we've just been talking about. The concept of me, we, do, be came to me when I was in the Marianas Islands. You know, the Marianas Trench is the lowest point in the ocean, and it was literally right off the coast from where I happened to be sitting. And long story short, I had a flight delayed, and I had 3 days unexpectedly on this island with nothing to do, no internet, no ability to communicate. I didn't know anybody. And so I literally sat on the beach for 3 days in, you know, thought about, hey, I've had all these global experiences all over the place. How do I really take this message so it makes sense to myself and to others? How do I communicate it? Literally, if you're sitting on the beach for 3 days with no distractions, this concept came to me of me, we, do, be, the four cornerstones of success. So you literally have to turn off the noise and be patient, and it will come to you. But if you have all these distractions, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's taking that time and allowing the space for things to come in. Was there any process that you used in order to determine the shifting of gears?
It was basically looking at all the alternatives. It's interesting because Me, We, Do, Be is a self-development book. But what's so remarkable is that the Wall Street Journal and Inc. magazine and big players are taking such an intense interest in it, because it's not like a lot of the other books, which are, frankly, there are a lot of sugar-coated, you know, stuff in there. This is real stuff that really works, because when I work on one of these cases involving mega disasters and then people have lost their lives or are injured, you know, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars in damage, they don't have time for sugar-coated theories. They need real answers. That's kind of my mindset. And this book really needed to deliver practical solutions rather than just something that makes you feel good with a sugar high and then goes away. So it just took a long time to really make it all kind of come together. But, you know, what can I say? It did.
So So you actually take the formula that you use in these disasters with people who are going through it, companies that are going through it, and you have actually published this book where the average person can access all of this valuable information.
Yeah, and I think what separates this book, Vicki, from so many others, as I say, this is all documented fact. I've gotten literally many billions of dollars from my clients using this Me, We, Do, We formula, like with the World Trade Center. Me was, I did the homework. I got the phone call. I was retained in that case. But before I flew to New York, I did an enormous amount of research to fill my head with every fact and figure and so forth in the Me cornerstone. I was part of a team. I didn't do it by myself. And I wanted to know everyone on the team, who they were, how we could work effectively together, and we did. And then Do was, you know, get productive, fly all over the world and research memorial sites all over the world. And B was a vision for the future. And I was literally in the boardroom where the Freedom Tower was a blueprint. It was just a vision for the future. And to talk about the future, set goals, manage our time. So, you know, in that case, and in every case, I went through this Me, We, Do, Be strategy. And if you look at the accomplishments of any great achiever that's ever lived on Earth, you will always inevitably see this Me, We, Do, Be framework. That's what's so powerful about it. It's just so simple, but they're like four legs of a table. We all need them. And if we have those in place, if you have a solid foundation, Vicki, you can build anything you want.
That, again, is so powerful and so beautiful, really. So with all of the work you've done, and especially now with the book being made available to anyone, anywhere in the world, what would you like to see the book have and your work have an effect on the world? Like if you were looking at it almost like a legacy, what would that look like for you?
Well, you know, there's so many terms out there like mind, body, and soul, and, you know, ethos, logos, and pathos, all these different ways of looking at things and buying things up. Me, We, Do, Be is destined to become one of those, if not the preeminent way of kind of looking at, hey, have I got a balanced life? I got to look at my Me, We, Do, Be. That's the benefit to it, because even though it's a very simple concept, disasters happen because one of those four cornerstones is missing, or it's cracked or flawed. If we have all four of those cornerstones solidly in place, you have a solid foundation. And then, you know, what I say in the book is, I don't define other people's success. For some people, it's making money or breaking sales goals or teaching a class or, you know, learning a musical instrument or beating cancer or connecting with the divine. I let people decide what success looks like for them. But what applies to all of us is we need a solid foundation. So what I hope that this will do for people around the world is give that blueprint for a solid foundation, and then they can define what success looks like for them, and then they can go ahead and build it.
Ah, that's so beautiful. And to think that this is going to be available for people to access all over the world just warms my heart. It's just, you've made so many big contributions, but this is so big from the standpoint of the numbers of people that can access this wonderful material and wonderful contribution, again, that you've made.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Vicki. You know, I've known you for a while now, and you've been a great part of the team, and I appreciate you, all the great information and advice you've given me over the couple years that I've known you. And I'm excited about it getting out there because I've seen the effects. It's tangible, it's real, it's generated billions of dollars, but more importantly, it can create happier families, happier people, happier organizations, because it just really works. It's very authentic.
Fantastic. Randy, thank you so much for taking the time out today to be with us. And I know that people can find Me, We, Do, Be on Amazon, but is there also a website where they could go to connect with you?
Sure. Just go to drbell.com, and it's all there. There's also a lot of free resources on drbell.com, a lot of things that, you know, in terms of this Me, We, Do, Be framework that are just available for going there.
Well, I hope everyone buys a book, Me, We, Do, Be, and goes to drbell.com and takes advantage of your generosity of these wonderful gifts of wisdom, as well as thank you so much for the generosity of your time today. I know you're a busy guy, and it's just been wonderful spending time with you, and thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you, Vicki.
We hope you will join us, where you will meet Dr. Randall Bell in person at the Expert Insights Annual IFBE Book Awards, this year at one of the top resorts on the Mexican Riviera.
Details on how you can secure your place are at www.mybookaward.com. There are limited spaces and discount rooms available, so visit today, www.mybookaward.com. See you next week.